scripture reading comes from Ephesians chapter 6, 1 through 4, actually. So I'll be reading the only four verses. So please follow along with me in your Bibles if you remember to bring them, or up there. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 1. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment with the promise, that it may go well with you and that you may live long in the land. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in discipline and instruction of the Lord. May God bless the reading of his word.
Good morning, everybody.
How's everybody doing? Honor and discipleship is what we're going to take from this today. And we're going to be focusing on the family. And as you know, as we were praying for our, not only for our church family, but also as our regular families, like our brothers and sisters, our mothers and our fathers. Oh, thank you so much. And so, as we look, we know that the marriage and the family is in trouble. These days, the government and different laws are attacking the God-established union between man and woman, and mothers and fathers. And so, and this is not uncommon. It's actually in the past. We know that in the days of Paul, which is the writer of Ephesians, we know that his society in the Roman and the Greek cultures were filled with debauchery, dysfunctionalness. It was where people had was immoral, immorality was all over the place. People having fornication outside of marriage. So we have all these things that are repeated as well. As today. And so we need to continue to be praying for our families. So if you would please bow your heads with me as I pray. Father God, we just thank you again for the day. We thank you, Lord, for just bringing us here as a family, as you, as our Father in heaven. We ask, Lord, that you would just speak through me and just use the words that you have spoken in my meditations and in my prayers and in my preparation. Lord, that I may share with my brothers and sisters here. I pray, Father God, that somehow in some way your Holy Spirit would fill us up and that we'd be changed from what we are to what you desire of us to be. We thank you, Lord, for your teaching and through your word. We thank you for these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So I have a little outline on the next page. Okay. So next one, after that. Okay, spirit-filled marriages and the family. And we're going to look at Ephesians chapter 5. And then the second point would be to submit one another, as we learn in 6:1, and then making disciples to the Lord. And this is our next year's theme, to making disciples of all the nations. And so we're going to be focusing on baptism. I'm sorry, baptism. Discipleship throughout the year. Can you turn the page? Next slide. If you turn your Bibles to, and I hope you guys bring your Bibles. Pastor David mentioned before that it would be great for you guys to bring your Bibles. Look to Ephesians chapter 5. And we're going to look before the passage, before chapter 6:1. We're going to look a little bit beforehand to verse 15. I know it's a little small, so hopefully you brought your Bibles. And before we begin, Paul is actually talking about what families should be like. That we know in Genesis chapter 20, in the Ten Commandments, that God actually makes it one of the commandments to honor your mother and father. And I know this is a little weird for me, and because my mom's here, so she actually knows what I'm talking about. So everything I have to say today, I'm like, oh, my mom's here, so everything has to be like legit, right? So I can't escape that, but my mom's here. So we look in chapter 5, verse 15, and it says to us, to look carefully, then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of the time because the days are evil, like I mentioned. We see it all the time, even for our kids to be growing up at this time where cell phones and multimedia, self-image, selfishness, like the TV shows that might be the funniest and the smartest kind of shows, but depict immorality against God in many ways. And then we get a laugh from it, and so it's very subtle. In verse 17 it says, "Therefore do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is." We know that, and how do we know the will of the Lord? And that's to go to His Word, to read your Bible every day. As children, as adults, we need to be continually going to the Lord and asking and knowing, desiring, thirsting for who He is. And the best way to do it is through reading God's Word. And to affirm those things, affirm those lessons by coming to church, by going to Sunday school, by going to service, by serving in whatever capacity you can. These are ways that we are reminded and reaffirmed the teachings of the Lord and the Lord's will. And it says in 18, "Do not be drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Holy Spirit," or be filled with the Spirit. That is one of the main keys of keeping a family, the church family, the family at your home. It is to be constantly reading your word, going to church, being filled with the Holy Spirit. Because once you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, that you've died to yourself and accept Him as Lord and Master, you believe that He died and rose again for your sins, you are a Christian. You are filled immediately by the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is what guides us, what teaches us. And then continuing on, addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord with your heart, giving thanks always for everything the God in heaven, name our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. As you look at that last point, submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. Everybody submits to somebody at some time. Let's continue on. So we're coming to our passage. Children, obey your parents in the Lord. Take a look at that. Read it. The word here is children. And if you came from a mother, which all of you have, you are a child of God. But here we're talking about, in particular, Paul is addressing children, people who are not yet adults, people who are still in the care of their mothers and fathers. But many of these things apply to us as adults as well. Obey your parents. When it says obey, it speaks of submission, obedience to the parents. It talks about instructions. We have here is that the home is the best place to learn this idea of obedience. Because when you're obedient to your mother and father, it is easier to be obedient to your mother and father than it's to be fully obedient to the Lord. Because the Lord has many tasks and requirements of us, as you read in the Bible, in the scripture. But to honor your mother and your father is a good example of how we should honor our Father in heaven. If you can do one, you can do the other. As children learn to obey their parents, they are setting a stage of obedience throughout their lives. They are learning respect and authority, and they are learning to obey the voices of authority. For example, schools, how to obey in school, how to obey the government and its laws, traffic laws, speed limits, stopping and going, as you know, that they become part of their lives. You always walk in some authority. Let's go to the next slide real quick. So honor your fathers and mothers at the days that may be long in the days, long in the land that the Lord God is giving you. So when we talk about this, honor your father and mother. Okay, let me go. Let's go back one more time. Sorry. Go back again. Okay. One of the criteria of obeying in the Lord. Sometimes children like my son, he obeys, but with not the right attitude. He goes, oh, okay, oh, come on. I'm going to use a lot of these references to my own son, James. My son James just turned 4, and he was really cute at one time, and he did everything I said, and he just naturally obeyed. And then for some reason, somehow, that changed. He says no. He says, I don't want to. Later. Or sometimes he just plainly ignores you. James! It's like, because then at first I was really worried that he might have a hearing problem. Amanda, I think we should take him to the doctor. See, he's not listening to me. No, because like if you whisper cookies or you whisper candy to him, candies, dinosaurs, he's like, what? What? All right, so he knows. But one of the things that we need to do when we obey in the Lord, the criteria of this is that it's in the Lord. While as a child, to be told to obey his parents, that obedience is conditioned by the behavior of the parents. One of the things that it's really important for kids to obey is that they want to be obeying out of respect for you, respect for us, not out of just outright allegiance, outright of duty, but because they respect mothers and fathers. They respect us. And so when we say in the Lord that the mother and father, one of the criteria is that the parents are living in the Lord. And as we talked about in the previous section in chapter 5, spirit-filled, spirit-led parents, which means that my life, my family, and my very existence is living a life for Jesus. As it says in Ephesians chapter 5, 1, it says, be imitators of God, that we should be like Christ himself. This is how your children will respect you. Now, if you say certain things and you go against every different laws and different rules that we need to obey, and then we go against what God's ways are, then how is our children are supposed to learn? We are to be imitators of God. And so what we do, children, knowing that being obedient is right may change the way they obey. So when we obey our children and they know that it's right, they know that it's God-honoring, they know that it pleases God, that's why they will follow you, because you are following God. You are leading them by your example. Children should have respect for their parents. They should be careful not to talk back to their parents. They should never run their parents down to their friends, meaning speak about them. They should respect their parents just as they would the Lord. Even after they've grown up and are married. Again, when children learn to respect their parents at home, they grow up with this natural respect for people. Children who honor their parents have little trouble honoring the Lord, others' authority figures, other people like their bosses or their teachers when they go to college. A child, however, who will disrespect his parents will usually have disrespect for others. This, in fact, is plain to see increasingly more when you see people around you. How they treat you generally is how they treat other people. Okay, now we can go on. Next slide. This is very important. As we know in Exodus 20:12, it says, honor your father and mother, that the days may be long in the land, and that the Lord your God is giving to you. Back in the day, during this time, and during Moses' time, having long life and being in the land is a blessing. And so we know this from Exodus, one of the Ten Commandments. Honor your father and mother is crucial to living a godly and upright life. And we know that this is a blessing that comes from God. All those who will honor your mother and father are blessed because of it. Next slide. All right, here's the hard part. Fathers, do not provoke your children. Okay, I'll read you the next one. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline of instruction of the Lord. One of the things that when I first read this passage, the first thing was like, yes! Because your mom and dad would always throw that, hey, you're supposed to honor your mother and father. Hey, you're supposed to honor your mother and father. And I couldn't find it in the Bible because I was really young and didn't know the Bible as well. I didn't know this passage. Hey, I have a passage for me to throw back at my mother and father's face. Hey, mom and dad, you're supposed to not provoke me as a child. I'm very angry right now, or something like that. But I don't think it goes this way. Again, we're talking about submission and mutual respect for one another, mutual submission to one another. Let's take a look at a couple of advices here. How not to provoke your children. Being overprotective, and I see these guys are taking notes over here, like, yeah, I gotta use this. All right, this is not fuel for ammunition, but being overprotective. Being overprotective meaning that you don't allow them to make choices, even choices that might cause them to fail, like allowing them to do things that that might fail. Of course, you want to be protective, that you don't want them to get hurt, or you don't want them to get really distraught or angry or upset, but allow them to make mistakes. These mistakes are learning experiences for them that will help them to grow and to learn from their mistakes. Playing favorites with siblings, for example. Like, you don't want to prefer one child over the another because, you know, that's messed up. But also playing favorites to people of other families as well, basically comparing them, meaning that you're not as good as this person. You're not as good as this sibling. You're not as good as Jimmy across the street. You're not good as behaved as Sally down in your class. These are playing favorites, and this will cause them to be really frustrated at you because not everybody can be straight A students. Not everybody can be athletes. Not everybody can be poets or English majors. Not everybody can live up to the expectations that you might have for them. And that's where we go to unrealistic expectations. Here we let God let them be who He designed them to be. Right? Remember that you should never relive your childhood through them is an important one. And I realized that when I was looking at this passage, I'm like, man, not that it happened to me, but I see that constantly with parents. My mother and father, they worked really hard to support me, to put a roof over my head, food in my mouth, and clothes on my back. But sometimes I see parents have unrealistic expectations for their kids. Sometimes, like, if they work really hard, they didn't get an education. So education, you need to be the very best, trying to live your life through them. Or I was never an athlete, so I want you to be the best athlete so that I can live vicariously through my son. Please don't do that to your parents again. It will hurt them and not help them. Constant discouragement. I have my mom is a very loving person, and she raised me with a very hard hand, and I'm grateful for that. I wasn't always when I was younger. She made me learn the hard lessons. One of the things that in the old school way is that they would be very discouraging to you, so that you would fight against that discouragement and live up to a better one, to a better encouragement. But I want to encourage you guys, and I've heard it and seen it not only in my family but many other families, is that when you call someone dumb or stupid or useless, if you say it enough times, you will start to believe it, and it could be very damaging to your kids. So I encourage you guys to discipline your kids, to make sure they're doing right, but to always bring them back and encourage them shortly after. And so some of the things that Amanda and I do when we see James do something wrong, we spank him, honestly. We spank him. I know that some places don't appreciate the spanking. But we spank him, and so he understands and he knows that what he's done is wrong. But thereafter, we don't hold a grudge on him. But most of the time, I never hold a grudge on him, and immediately after I spank him and he's crying, I give him a big, sweet hug. I give him a blow. He's like, ah, he's crying, he's, ah, no breath. But I give him a hug, telling them, Mommy and Daddy love you. Mommy and Daddy love you so much, and we're sorry that we had to spank you, but we know this is right for you. One of the conversations I was having with him is that, why are you spanking me? What did I do wrong? And then you have to explain it to them. Sometimes, and my mother is guilty of this as well, but sometimes you just have to do what I say. Do as I say, not what I do. And if you ask why, just do it. And I felt that was very discouraging because I was inquisitive. I wanted to know. And once I knew, I would go do it because it makes sense. So I want to encourage you guys and mothers and future mothers, and these are for young people. When you're younger, explain exactly why you're doing things. And when it comes why, and you know, time's running out, like, you know, like they just keep on saying why. Because it is right. And then they say, who makes it right? Why is it right? Well, not because it's right for me. It's because it's right unto the Lord. So I want to encourage you guys to explain to your kids as best as you can. Don't be flustered. Ask for extra grace and patience to be willing to sit down and talk to your children. Tell them and be a constant encouragement to them instead of a discouragement. Don't label them, again, as a nuisance. And you're trying to mature them too quickly. That's sometimes too fast. Like, hey, don't do this. Hey, don't do that. And then sometimes I have to stop myself, and Amanda and I have to do this sometimes. We have to stop ourselves and remind them, they're kids. They're children. They will run. They will play. They will, you know, push things over. They'll make mistakes constantly, especially the young ones. They will make mistakes. And sometimes we try to mature them too fast, and sometimes we just need to let them be kids. I constantly am strongly a believer of this, is that I would love to see them be as sweet and as innocent as long as possible. Of course, there's things in the world that might hurt them and might affect them, that might harm them in some way. Of course, we need to keep them from those things. We need to protect them. But too quickly, we mature them faster than they need to be. Okay, continue on. Let's see. Using love as a reward or punishment. Please don't do that. Love them regardless of how good or how bad they are. Sometimes you're in a bad mood, sometimes they're in a bad mood, and, you know, sparks fly, and it's very angry. But as adults, we need to be better and more mature. Okay? And then we want to continue to love them always. Even if it requires some punishment, we need to love them. And using physical and verbal abuse, that's never okay. When I'm talking about spanking, I'm not really hurting him. I'm just a little spanking a tushy. Or as my wife does, she does this. And when we started spanking them, we started doing it in the hand. But then I started seeing my son do this. Hey, James, you did a very bad thing. You need to clean up your stuff and you're disobeying, whatever it is. And then you need a spanking. And my son would go, shh. And then my wife would go, and he was like, and then he'd go back to whatever he was doing. So, yeah, he's like that. He's like, yeah, Mom, you're weak sauce. And so he would spank her. Let's go to the next slide. Oh, man, that's really small for you guys. Or at least small for me. Here's Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 12, 6 through 11. Let me read it to you real quick. It has a lot of really great things in it that I want you to pay attention to. Hebrews, for the Lord disciplines the one he loves and chastises every son whom he receives. So we're taking an example of Christ himself. It is for discipline that you have to endure. God is treating you as sons. For what son is there whom his father does not discipline? If you are left without discipline, in which all I have participated, then you are illegitimate children and not sons. Besides this, we have had earthly fathers who disciplined us and respected them. Shall we not much more be subject to the Father of spirits and live? And here's what I want us to focus on. For they disciplined us for a short time that seemed best to them. I mean, we're trying our best. But he disciplines us for our good, that we may share in his holiness. For the moment, all discipline seems painful rather than pleasant, but later it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. Every time I believe that I was disciplined one way or another, whether it's through my parents or through loved ones, at the time, it doesn't feel good. It doesn't. But later on, as you look back and reflect upon God's blessing upon your life, and you reflect upon the hard times in your life, you reflect upon those lessons, and then you will learn to appreciate it. And if you can do that today, and remember the harshness of something that your parents might have done for you that might seem bad, but in turn it turned good. I want you to encourage you guys to go to your moms and to your dads, however old you are, if you can, to say, for one, maybe sorry, for two, say thank you to them. Let's move on to the next slide. In Proverbs, it says, to train up your child in the way he should go. Even when he is old, he would not depart from them. I have one kid, one parent who came up to me and crying one day, and her son went to college as probably a first or second year student, and she was crying to me and said, she said, oh, my son is being a delinquent, and he's like 19 years old, and you know, he's not going to church anymore. He's running with the wrong crowd. I don't believe he's saved anymore. I'm really worried and scared, and she's crying because she loves her son so much. And as a young pastor, I said, and I thought about this verse. Auntie Laura, you and your husband are godly men and women, that you trained him up in the Lord, you brought him to church, you did home Bible studies, you prayed for him with him, and you did your very best to raise him up in the Lord. He has a strong foundation, a good foundation in the Lord, and if it's the Lord's will, he will come back. A few years later, he comes from college. He comes to me and says, Rick, I want to confess. Help me to, I'm going to confess to God that I haven't been to church in a long time. I say, how come? You know, the struggles of the world, the temptations got into me. But I realized those are all stupid things. How did you do that? You know, from all the lessons that were taught to me. By whom? I guess my mom and dad, who taught me, who shared with me. And I remember those things. And so he came back to the church. He devoted himself to Christ once again. I guess the second time because he was baptized before, but he gave himself to Christ again and again. And now he's a Bible study leader. He's an elder of his church. He's starting a family, and he's raising them up in the right way as well. And I remember that story, that this proverb, though it's not a command or it's not a promise, but it's good advice to train up the child in the way they should go. And when he is old, he will not depart from it. So I want to encourage you to continue to do that. Can I have the next slide? And then here we get to the discipleship making part. As I told you before, in chapter 5, verse 1, it says to be imitators of Christ, to be lived like him, to act like him, to serve one another, to love one another. That is as this passage goes, what we should be doing for one another. Can I have the next slide? As I close, one of the things I want to encourage, and this is not the closing part. We want to be making disciples of all the nations, as it says in Matthew. And The one indispensable requirement for producing godly, mature Christians is godly, mature Christians. I want to thank CFC. I want to thank this church. I came here when I was 12 years old, and I was smoking and doing drugs, and I was vandalizing things when I was a kid. I was a really bad kid, to be honest with you. I didn't think I was that bad, but I hung out with a bad crowd, to be honest. And then when I came to church, it changed my life. The Bible lessons started meaning something. The worships and the songs started meaning something. The people who gave their time and their efforts to drive me to church every single week meant something to me. And so I want to encourage you guys, especially for the sake of my son and the sake of all the children here at CFC, to be godly Christians, to read your word consistently, doing your devotions, to continually to pray constantly for one another, for yourselves, for your family, share with your community group, to go to Sunday school for extra learning, to continue to be on time for messages each and every Sunday. All these things are beneficial not only for you, but for my sons and your daughters, for the next generation who look up to you. And I know some people say, "Well, I'm too old." That is not an excuse. You have so much wisdom to share with our students. And for you guys who think you're too young, that you have nothing to share, and then that's not true too. If anything, you're closest to some of these kids, that you've walked in their footsteps. You know the hazards and the trappings of this world better than a lot of us here today. So I want to encourage you guys to be upright and mature Christians. Have the next slide. One of the things, in Psalm 127, it says, "Behold, children are the heritage from the Lord," a blessing. "The fruit of the womb, a reward. Like arrows in the hand of a warrior are the children of one's youth. Blessed is the man who fills his quiver with them," with many children. "He shall not be put to shame when he speaks with his enemies at the gate." This passage speaks to me and says, children are a blessing. Enjoy them. Encourage them. Help grow them. And a couple of conclusions that I kind of just thought of. Children are the blessing. We need to be right with the Lord. We need to be imitators of God, like I said. And one of the things that I like here is look for opportunities to help our children, be there for them. And what I mean that is what we just talked about right now. Be here for them. Offer up your opportunities. Hey, how can I help the youth ministry? One of these days, I gave a similar message on a Sunday, and one of the mothers actually said, felt convicted, and she started making food for us every agape. Every single agape, she comes and she brings all these wonderful morsels of food, and that's her way of loving our children. So whatever you can do, please offer yourself up to them and be a discipler. Be a mentor. Be a spiritual parent as best as you can. For I know I have many here. And of course, please pray for our youth. A lot of people say they are our future, but I like to think they are our present. And we have a task in front of us to raise them up in the Lord. So bow your heads with me as I pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you again just for listening to our cries, just listening to our prayers. We pray, Father, for those grandparents, parents, spiritual parents, parents-to-be. We pray, Father, that you would teach us how to be more like your Son, Jesus Christ, to live a life of righteousness, a holy life separate from the world, Lord, that we'd be a light to the nations, but also we'd be a light to our families here at home. And so I pray, Father, that you would give us a special portion, a special portion of patience with one another, submitting one another, obeying you, Lord. So we thank you again for today and putting a desire for youth in my life, in my heart for ministry. And so we thank you, Lord, for just the many lessons that I've learned, the many lessons that we've learned in our life. Help us to put it forth for your kingdom. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.